Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel for a few moments as we wrap up the day. Thank you, ushers, for making available the handout for tonight that is keen on 1 Samuel. We're going to look at another one of the books of the Old Testament, just a little bit of a survey as we consider this nostalgic path along a historic path, a nostalgic walk along an historic path. And we're going to look at 1 Samuel. We need to go over the other books, though, and see how you're doing in learning the themes and the outlines for the book. So let's start with Genesis. And Genesis is the book of? Okay, very good. Let's do it again. Genesis is the book of? Beginnings. The outline is creation, fall, flood, Babel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Exodus is the book of? Leaving Egypt. Very good. The outline is exit, law, tabernacle. Leviticus is the book of holiness. And the outline is the way to God by sacrifice, the walk with God by sanctification. Numbers is the book of wanderings. And the outline is leaving Sinai, Sinai to Kadesh, Kadesh to Kadesh, Kadesh to the plains of Moab. We have followed human history now from the very first man and woman to the choosing of a people group through whom God would bring a Savior and a Bible. And we have followed that people down to Egypt and then back out of Egypt and the long, arduous journey back to the Promised Land. And now they're on the banks of the Promised Land, ready to enter in. But one more thing, Deuteronomy gives us the second law. The theme of the book is, oh boy, that's an important one. That's an important one. We need to learn that lesson early in life. Amen. The book of Deuteronomy is the book of obedience. And the outline is Moses' first sermon, Moses' second sermon, Moses' third sermon, Moses' final charge in death. So Israel is now on the banks of the Jordan River. They have received the law the second time, encouraged to obey God, and they're ready to enter in. And that brings us to a new leader, Joshua. Joshua is the book of conquest. And the outline is entering the land, overcoming the land, occupying the land. And so now the promised people are in the promised land. And we run into the book of Judges. The book of Judges is the book of failure. Altogether, the book of Judges is the book of failure. Now, we don't have an outline for Judges, but rather we have a recurring pattern, because for 350 years, Israel went through the same cycle. And the recurring pattern is, are you ready? Sin, slavery, supplication, and salvation. After 350 years of failure, going through this revolving pattern, we come up on the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel is the bridge book between when Israel was governed by judges. They were ruled by God through judges in the land, and it was 350 years of a lot of problems. And then we have Israel wanting a king. And so they're going to be ruled under the leadership of God through an individual, through a king. 1 Samuel records for us this book of transition. So the theme of the book is First Samuel is the book of transition. The transition is from being governed by judges to being governed by a king. Okay? So the book of First Samuel is the book of transition. Very good. All together. The book of First Samuel is the book of transition. And there are three parts to First Samuel, and they involve the three main characters in the book of First Samuel. The first character is the last of the Old Testament judges. His name is Samuel. And in chapters 1 through 7, Samuel is center stage. And he was the last of the list of the judges that God worked through to provide governance over the land of Israel. Samuel was used by God to anoint the first two kings. And they are the second and third part of 1 Samuel. So we have Samuel, he anointed Saul, and then he anointed David. And so the book of 1 Samuel is a book of transition from judges to kings. The outline is very simple. It's Samuel, Saul, and David. Okay? Let's all say that together. 1 Samuel is the book of transition, and the outline is Samuel, Saul, and David. Okay, very good. Now I want to just give you just a couple of tidbits that come from 1 Samuel, lessons that need to be learned as we read our Bibles and as the book of 1 Samuel comes to life. One of our Bible study fellowship classes is in the midst of studying 1 Samuel right now. Our New Horizons class was at chapter 13 this morning in 1 Samuel. And so let's just take a couple of highlights here. First of all, the portion regarding Samuel, as you can see, gives us some information about family turmoil. Family turmoil seemed to be a plaguing problem in the families of Israel during this time in their history. And there are three people you see on your little worksheet there, Elkanah and his wives, Hannah and Penina, and then Eli, and then Samuel. I want you to notice that in each of these situations, there was problems in the family. When there's problems in the family, there's problems everywhere. Family problems are serious problems. We need to work hard on our families. We need to work hard to make sure our families are places where God is ruling and reigning, where God is honored, where God and God's word are highlighted in our lives. Our families are the training grounds for the next generation of missionaries and preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers and ushers and choirs and all the different things we do to extend the kingdom of God through churches. Family is the training ground to produce the next generation that will carry the gospel forward for Jesus Christ. Family life is so vital and so important. And it's sad that in the period of Judges, there was a lot of family problems that even in the leadership, it's family problems are terrible anywhere. Family problems are especially destructive to the work of God when family problems exist in the lives of Christian leaders, in pastors' lives, in missionaries' lives, in Sunday school teachers' lives, choir member lives, just right around the gamut of church work. When the leaders have family problems, it is particularly disruptive to the ongoing work of the kingdom of God. And we have that illustrated here during the time frame of the last of the judges. Samuel himself struggled with rivalry and then barrenness with Hannah that created a lot of the rivalry. There was a lot of problems that existed in Elkanah's family. And of course, the commitment that Hannah had to being able to birth a male child for the purpose of raising a young man to serve God was extraordinary. And it's a bright spot, a wonderful part of the story in the context of rivalry and problems. But they did. Elkanah and Hannah bore Samuel. Samuel turned out to be the great leader, the last judge. And one of the great stories in his early childhood is how he learned how to listen to God. We need to learn how to listen to those who lead us, particularly God. We need to learn how to listen to God. Samuel learned how to listen to God, how to focus on God, how to recognize the voice of God, how to respond to the voice of God. The importance of learning how to listen is an important lesson. And one of the great stories of Samuel's life points us to that ability to listen. And so that's Elkanah and Hannah were a bright spot in this family turmoil, but yet not without turmoil in their family as well. And then the second one is Eli. Eli, what an example of a disobedient father that produced rebellious sons. Let's take just a moment to read a couple of the verses in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Eli, the high priest, the person who had the highest spiritual position in the land of Israel at the time, leading in the work of the worship of Jehovah around the tabernacle. And Eli held such an important position. And yet in chapter 3 and in verse number 12, the Bible tells us that in that day I will perform against Eli. This is God speaking. All things which I have spoken concerning this house, when I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. One of the prime examples in the Bible of the danger of a dad not disciplining his children. When his children do wrong and dad refuses to deal with the wrong, refuses to discipline his home. And Eli's home provides us a very powerful negative example of that danger. And so God said that he was going to judge his house forever because dad never restrained his children. If you go back to chapter 2 and verse 29, the Bible says, chapter 2 and verse number 29, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offerings?" Of course, he, Eli, and his sons are the ones that made the sacrifices at the tabernacle. "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offerings, which I have commanded in my habitation, thou, and honorest thy sons above me." Here, dad was more concerned about what his boys thought of him than what God thought of him. What a danger to be more concerned about what my kids think of me than what my God thinks of me. And God said that you honor your sons above me, you make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Very difficult thing. Chapter 2 and verse number 12, another verse that highlights this. Verse 12 says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." Dad didn't reach his own kids. Verse number 22, "Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel," and went on to describe the horrible transgression of his sons and how they influenced the people. Eli's failure was replicated in the lives of his sons, which impacted the people of Israel. Eli's disobedience, producing disobedient children, did great damage to the work of God. Family turmoil, family problems. And then there's Samuel. Turn over to chapter 8. Chapter 8, Samuel, who was the bright spot at the beginning of the book of 1 Samuel, where God allowed Hannah to birth him, and then how he learned how to hear God. And it was a bright spot, an encouraging thing. But then in chapter 8 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "It came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. And then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Samuel was a failure as a dad. Great as Samuel is, stands as a great hero of the faith in the Old Testament. Great story at his birth and at his early childhood. He failed in his home life. And the end result was that his sons messed up big time. Were willing to take bribes. They only cared about money and what money can buy. And they failed utterly in brought great harm to the work of God. Family life. That's the book of 1 Samuel highlights family turmoil. It highlights the damage of family problems in the work of God. And much negative came out of the failure of parents in the book of 1 Samuel. So that's the first part of 1 Samuel, all about Samuel. And the last major judge, of course, his sons judges after him till they were rejected. And so Samuel's family. Second person is Saul. Saul, we can think of Saul as one of the great examples of wasted opportunities. Wasted opportunities. A man who had the ability to be a great hero of the faith, and yet he had a miserable end. You see in your little worksheet there, great beginning in chapter 10, the picture of him and his humility. Some would view his humility that was demonstrated in his beginning as being a false humility, that his true character was not of humility, and his true character came out at the end. Some would see him as being a genuinely humble man early in his life, who then later in life, because of the accolades of the people, because of his position of importance, it all went to his head, and he changed from a humble man to a pride-filled man. Regardless, he was a great disappointment to God. One of the profound stories is in chapter 15, 1 Samuel 15, at the point in which God turned his back on Saul. And in chapter 15 and in verse number 26, the Bible says, "And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." Verse 35, "And Samuel came up, and Samuel came no more to see Saul unto the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel." Saul was a sad disappointment of someone who had the ability, the opportunity, but he utterly failed and became a great disappointment, a man of wasted opportunities. By the way, this 15th chapter records that profound statement in verse number 22. Samuel said to Saul, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Oh, powerful verses on the importance of obedience. It is worse to disobey God than to worship idols, God said. A very important verse on the importance of obedience to God. And Saul failed in that, so God rejected him. The bitter end of Saul is recorded finally in chapter 26, where Saul's body, his headless corpse, is nailed to the wall at Bethshan, and he was there left for the buzzards to pick his flesh on the wall of Bethshan. We had the opportunity, those of you who went to Israel this past summer, we were at Bethshan, and of course, I had a running joke with our guide, because people come to Israel and they want to know exactly where everything happened. And so the guys are put in the predicament of explaining to people, we have no idea where it happened. I mean, it was in this general area. Well, he and I had a running joke going back and forth. So when we were at Bethshan, I asked him, I said, "Now, exactly where on the wall?" Because they were doing the excavations, and they're currently excavating the layers of Bethshan down to some of the biblical era time frame. And it's a big mound, and they're excavating. And I said, "Now," he said, showed us generally where the wall was. Of course, it's underground because it's been built on layer after layer. I said, "Can you tell me where did they nail Saul's body on the wall?" And he says, "Okay, look over in this direction." He says, "Look up. Do you see that tree that's up there on the mound? And you see the branch that's gone off to the..." It's right under that branch. That's where they nailed his body on the wall at Bethshan. And so we were there and saw the exact place. That's more fake news. We don't really know. But we were at Bethshan, and it was the right city. It was the right city, the right place where Saul met his bitter end. And a horrible, horrible end it was. That brings us to the last key character in the book of 1 Samuel. And that's, of course, the man David. And David is the great victory part of 1 Samuel. Here's a man with a sincere heart. Here's a man that has a hunger for God and that God will use greatly. Look with me in chapter 16 and verse 13. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. The Bible says, "Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him," that's David, "in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." He was a spiritual man. He was a man who God chose because he had a heart for God. And the Spirit of God came upon him. He was controlled by the Holy Spirit. We would call him a Spirit-filled man, a spiritual man that God was going to use for his glory. And then a second character trait about David, if you flip over another page in your Bible to chapter 17 and in verse number 29, chapter 17, verse number 29, David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" We've heard that. We know that. We know that's the statement he made there with Goliath and trying to say to Israel, "Why won't somebody do something about what Goliath?" He was a man of courage. He was a man who was courageous enough to step forward in a time of need. And if there's a cause, if there's a need, if there's something needs to be done, he stepped forward to do that. He was a man of courage. And then if you turn all the way back to chapter 26, all the way back to chapter 26, the third character trait about David that I want you to just take note of is that David was a man who was loyal to a fault. Loyalty was important to David. In chapter 26 and in verse number 9, chapter 26 and verse number 9, the Bible says, David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said, "Furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take now the spear, the bolster, the cruse of water, let us go." And so you know the story, how David had every opportunity to destroy Saul. Saul was trying to destroy David. David, if he had destroyed Saul, it would have been in self-defense. He had the opportunity. He had the motive. He had the chance to be rid of his mortal enemy that was trying to kill him. But he knew that God had put his hand on Saul, and he knew that it would be wrong for him to take up his hand against the Lord's anointed king. He'll leave it in God's hands for God to remove Saul whenever God wanted to remove Saul. Of course, David had already been anointed to be the next king. He knew he was going to be the next king, but he left the timing in God's hand. He was loyal. And when Saul and Jonathan finally died in battle, David mourned over the death of these great men that had great opportunity and squandered their opportunity. Saul did. And David maintained his loyalty unto the end. David was a spiritual man of courage and loyalty. And so the book of 1 Samuel ends with a very strong high note of spiritual leadership. So the book of 1 Samuel is the book of... Okay, all together. Book of 1 Samuel is the book of transition. And the outline is Samuel, Saul, and David. Very good.